Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back here at the Public House. The sun is coming out as the fans are starting to file into Oracle Park for Game 3 between two longtime rivals. Boy, they go back a long way, the Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals. Joined by Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Marty. Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Giants and the Cardinals. Boy, they go back a long way of playing against each other. I love the Cardinal uniform with the birds on the bat. One of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a treat to go to St. Louis and really experience what it's like to be in a great baseball town like that. I was lucky to go on a baseball trip way back in 1972 with the Santa Monica Evening Outlook with the Dodgers on their charter plane, and it was the St. Louis, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. It was a great way to really get a taste of what it's like to cover baseball on the road. But that stadium has undergone a lot of changes, but it's always basically St. Louis baseball. You can hard to beat.
Yeah, they built that other stadium, the new Busch, right next to the old one, right? Almost like built it right into the other stadium.
Yeah, as long as you got the Bowling Hall of Fame, you're good.
All right, good deal. Marty and I have been talking about Madison Bumgarner from yesterday. He catches the line drive off his arm. They say he's going to be okay. He's scheduled to pitch next Saturday, but ended up leaving the game, though, after he took an at-bat, Bruce.
Well, I love that. That's so Bumgarner. You know, I mean, he just decided he wasn't going to feel whatever was killing him down there. And I felt bad because he got a couple fat pitches in that at-bat that he couldn't square up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's vintage Bumgarner. You knew he wasn't going to just head out to the clubhouse after the immediate impact. But, I mean, that was a pretty direct hit. I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, it was a Bob Gibson moment for me, you know, in 1967, having his leg broken. And, you know, I thought his stock went up. I mean, this is exactly who the guy is. And if you're in a playoff, I want that guy. That's the guy I want on the mound.
Yeah, I'm sure if the longer he stayed, it would have been more difficult. But in the immediate aftermath of that, he's still throwing 91 with a big bending slider. You know, just he's going to be Bumgarner. You're not going to make him not be Bumgarner. And I'm sure other teams definitely took notice. I mean, everybody knows how tough he is, but that's a quality that really means a lot when you get down the stretch.
Well, he's penciled in for Saturday. We'll see, because if it is a contusion, a bone bruise, whatever, it could take a little bit longer. But he's supposed to throw a bullpen on Thursday. So we'll see what happens. Bruce, I don't know if you were online today. A couple of things. One, the Cincinnati Reds are using a throwback jersey that everyone pointed out to me, going back to 1956, 57. Remember the sleeve?
Good days for them.
Remember the sleeveless jerseys and Ted Kluszewski and what they looked like in those days? Well, picture Puig and these guys who are massive weightlifters in this kind of uniform today. Where do you see it? Do you remember the 50s uniforms of the Reds?
Well, I always see Frank Robinson stepping to the plate.
Yeah.
At the LA Coliseum in the late 50s. That's how far back I go. But he had the long red sleeves, but very distinctive. You always knew who was in town, and you know, back then when they still had Frank Robinson and Kluszewski and Wally Post, and you know, they had some tremendous teams. They didn't get to the World Series till 61, but really good teams.
A lot of uniforms different around. Well, maybe we saw the blue ones yesterday. Was it the powder blue from the Cardinals we got? That was a classic powder blue. We got the Expos yesterday in Washington, D.C. playing. That was an interesting one. I don't know if I like the Nationals wearing the jersey of the city that they abandoned.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really the powder blue, it was so prevalent back then. It seemed like half the teams were wearing, you know, Kansas City and St. Louis. And so many teams were wearing a distinct, you know, not distinct, shade very much like that. It got to be, you never knew who you were watching. But to see it come back now is, get a little nostalgia going. I was waiting for Tommy Herr and Terry Pendleton to come out there.
Did you catch any of the Phillies game yesterday? Yesterday, Bruce, or see what happened with Jake Arrieta and the Mets?
Yeah, it looked like he hit Frazier with a breaking ball right away.
I guess he hit three different batters, all three with a changeup. He's like the first guy since 1940 going back on Pitch Tracker or whatever they can do to do that in under five innings of work.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, you know, Frazier got kind of bent out of shape. And, I mean, Arrieta's post-game, he goes, hey, you know, if you want to come out here, I'll put a dent in your skull. That was Arrieta's quote. I mean, and I don't think Frazier's quite that confrontational, but, you know, it was, to me, I just kind of forgot about it. What sticks in my head is a 98-mile-an-hour fastball thrown at the head that can really stir up some genuinely bad blood and there's no place for in the game.
I wonder about that. Do you like the beanball stuff? I mean, I know going at somebody's head is definitely bad, but the back and forth that are part of the quote-unquote unwritten rules of baseball?
I like it when it's done honestly. You know, they hit your main guy, and he's in pain, and you know he's you know, your Barry Bonds or whoever it is. It's just you know, it's a natural instinct to retaliate. You don't have to go after their best guy. A lot of teams do, but you know, nail him in the butt or something like that, and you're even and move on. When it gets out of hand and guys start throwing behind people and at people's heads, I don't care how many ejections there are. Yeah. Clear the decks. Get them out of there.
Yep. Hitting in the ribs is one thing.
Yeah.
And that's I understand that, and that's usually intentional. But
yeah.
When you go up, and then you don't have command, and there's no place for it in the game. Bruce, did your article run today on Mike Kruko?
It did. It's in the Sunday Chronicle Sports today.
Yeah, mine, of course, when I came to the park this morning, I left the house about 7:15. The paper wasn't there yet, so yeah. I didn't get to see it. But I want people to understand the story that Bruce wrote about Mike and the challenges he faces and the great story about Patriot, his service dog, that just is amazing. But I got a couple of texts about it, Bruce, and I just want to share with you that they love the article. And if anyone is interested to learn more about or contribute to Canine Guardians, you can go to the website, canineguardians.org, and you can learn more about it. So, Bruce, you got some nice compliments today about the article as well.
Oh, that's great. I heard from Tom Brenneman and Ken Harrelson, too. I really enjoyed hearing from Ken Harrelson. I miss him. I miss that classic voice on the air when you hear the highlights of the White Sox. But very nice. Some great response. And that was a really rewarding project to be a part of and to actually go into Kruko's apartment and have the dog settle in on me for about a half an hour. That was
great.
Just spectacularly
and
good.
And the dog sounds perfect. They're just So Canine Guardians. .org. Absolutely check it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Ken Harrelson. We're talking about these uniforms today. When I think of him, I think of a baseball card in the Kansas City A's uniform.
Yes, I know the card you're talking about with the yellow sleeves.
Yep, you got it. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So let's see. If the Orioles wore the old St. Louis Browns uniform, that wouldn't work for you?
There's history there. I think what I'd like about that is that people could become aware, if they weren't already, of the history of the club and that there were two teams in St. Louis at one time. And the Browns were hardly a juggernaut, anything but. But, my dad grew up in St. Louis following both teams. He was a Cardinal fan. And he loved Wee Willie Schirdel. Marty, okay. So that's my...
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, they actually won the pennant in 1944, and who do they play?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah. And because it was a war year, people, you know, not everyone was there. Guys were off fighting the war and everything, but pretty cool.
I think the managers shared the same apartment because they would be on the road at different times until the World Series. They didn't know what to do. They probably stayed in the same place. That's crazy in those days. Well, we got the All-Star Game coming up, and I want to chat with you just a little bit about it. About the All-Star Game, some of your thoughts about it, maybe a favorite All-Star memory.
My favorite All-Star memory is when Willie Mays led off for the National League.
And the triples.
And you're like, okay. And he triples.
Right.
I forget it. Maybe the game in Kansas City. I forget where it was. But I was just like, oh, my world. You just saw the whole what the National League is all about in a few seconds there. First that he's leading off, and then he triples. The hat flies off, and, you know, let's go. And, you know, I think about McCovey's two home runs in D.C. and Dave Parker's throw. Ichiro at AT&T or Pac Bell, whatever it was at that time. And, you know, Ray Fosse getting hit by Pete Rose. There's so many signature moments. I don't remember too many from recently, and, you know, of course, your mind, for, you get a little older, you remember the stuff that goes way back better than, like, yesterday. But I'd like to see, you know, something from Mike Trout or Yelich or some of the great players in the game that really, you know, makes the game memorable for years to come.
Well, I think Trout has the – doesn't he have the career cycle in the All-Star game? And he's the – is he the first guy to win back-to-back All-Star game MVPs or something like that?
I think so.
As Bruce
not
says,
positive,
who knows?
But yeah, he's had some great ones in the past, and I'm hoping Vlad Guerrero Jr. wins the home run derby. I hope he just completely goes off because he's a show.
yeah, Josh Bell, and any of them. It's all going to be very interesting, and they're going to use a special baseball, I'm sure. So
yeah,
as we said yesterday,
one.
550. It'll be 550. You know, the great All-Star story that Mays told me, Walter Alston would come up to him and say, Willie, what about the lineup today? And Willie would say, put me first, Aaron second, and Clemente third. After that, I don't care what you do.
I'll tell you another thing that I remember distinctly. The game at Candlestick way back, it was a Stu Miller game, but the National League won that game in the 10th inning. And the players responsible were Mays, Aaron Clemente, and Frank Robinson, okay? I mean, none of this putting the guys on the bench and go with the reserves. Mays and Aaron, those guys were still playing in the 10th inning. It was absolutely great.
Well, even in those days, there's some begged off, and, they sort of tightened up on this thing. Anthony Rendon has begged off Greinke for personal reasons. But I was disappointed with Scherzer. He pitched Saturday. Couldn't he throw an inning on Tuesday?
I'm not sure what's his condition. I mean,
he's fine. He was great yesterday.
Yeah, but he said no. I pitched Saturday, so he's not going to pitch Tuesday, and that sort of bugged me a little bit. For someone like that, who probably is the best pitcher in the game today, even if he came in for 2/3 of an inning, whatever it is, I think he should be.
Yeah, he's my absolute favorite pitcher in the game. I mean, the way he competes and goes deep into games, and he's a good hitter. I think he stole a base yesterday. He's just a ball player and super fun to watch. That's a real shame, although it's nice that Sonny Gray's going to pop in his place.
Something a little lost for me, though, seeing Sonny Gray versus Trout versus Scherzer against Trout. I think I'd rather see
way
Matt
different.
Scherzer.
Yeah. Way different.
A little bit lost, yeah.
It's going to be fun. All right, well, look, enjoy the day. Did you watch the soccer match?
Yeah, the timing was good. Thanks for getting me on a little bit later. Finished it, had a bunch of people over, mimosas, and it was a lot of fun.
All right.
Very good. Well, enjoy the week very much. We'll look forward to talking to you. Well, they got the Brewers next week. I had Woe on this morning. He said, Woe, did you ever go in the tailgate there in Milwaukee? And I brought up Harvey Keene and George Bamberger and all that. So I think he's going to try to check it out.
Very good. I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks,
take care.
Guys.
Later, Bruce.
That is the great Bruce Jenkins.